The two chapters I'm involved in this great book, and I would like to thank you, first of all, for making it possible for us to participate here today and also for the participation in the book. I haven't read it all either myself. Hopefully one day I will, and I'm sure I will. The two chapters I am involved in are grounded in a long history of interest and struggling in and for social justice. I have an education background, just like my colleague Mario Acevedo, and my interest in looking at regionalism in Latin America emerged around 10 to 15 years ago during my PhD research, which is the foundation for these chapters that we see here. So I have been engaging, and we have been engaging in education, sometimes not so much in education myself, and more looking at political economy and geographies. But there's this interest in education which comes up in the second chapter. And this means within a critical paradigm, looking at development from a critical, I'm not a post-colonialist, I'm more critical, if I'd have to box myself, critical theorist, neo-Gramscian, and critical geographies. And combined with my interest in critical pedagogies, so it's always about social transformation, progressive, in inverted commas, progressive transformation. And this particular chapter, the first one that you put nicely into the kind of methodological section of the book, is a combination of an analytical literature review with documentary analysis and some empirical knowledge. So the chapter is, I think you said it before, it's something like regionalism and South-South cooperation in Latin America and the Caribbean. And the different elements in the paper is, when reading literature on regionalism in Latin America, you will most likely be caught up in mainstream international relations, usually informed by neo-realist ontologies, meaning that what you will read will say there's these countries, and some of these countries form different blocks, regions, and there are a lot of different regionalisms in Latin America. We can't quite make sense of that. Some are members in more than one regionalism, and they contradict each other, and this is where it stops. And I have, since the beginning of studying these processes, I was in Venezuela in 2004, 2005, 2006, spending quite extended periods there. And I was actually looking at the role of higher education, the deprivatization and universalization, the right to higher education for all in Venezuela, in looking at the transformation towards socialism in Venezuela, when at the same time, the governments of Cuba and Venezuela initiated these regional integration projects, the Bolivarian Alliance for the Peoples of Our America, and the so-called Petro Caribe. And these were two new ideas and projects of regional cooperation and integration. Now, when you look at I picked for this paper the greater Caribbean, which means sometimes it's referred to as the Caribbean Basin, but greater Caribbean is more the kind of concept the government, the states involved decide to use themselves. So there is you can't see that from here, but there's a table in this chapter that looks at all the Latin American independent countries and equally looks at in what regionalist projects they are involved, and then we see their range in some are more and less than others, and so forth. That is the initial analysis I conducted to get an understanding of what countries are actually in what projects. And in the Greater Caribbean, there are a lot of projects coming together, 5, 6 to 7. But these are not all governed by the same principles. And when you read the literature on regionalism, three, I prefer to use the term generations of regionalisms can be identified rather than waves or phases, because the term generation suggests that they can coexist. And this is very important. So we have different generations of regionalisms in Latin America, Caribbean. The first generation was very much informed by import substitution, decolonization, independence. Import substitution, dependency theory informed, and attempting to de-link from the core of global capitalism. Second generation is the neoliberal response to this, the so-called open regionalism, which in its worst form are simply export platforms. There is no integration or real cooperation taking place. There are some production chains, and this goes to the north. The third generation is then based upon my own work, looking at counter-hegemonic, decolonialist, counter-dependency regionalisms. And this is where the Petrocaribe and ALBA and other projects, UNASUR, which is mainly in South America, and the so-called Community of Latin American States, the CELAC, which was, when it was founded, a very promising project, integrating all 34 independent states into a political platform for joint action. All of this looks very different now in 2019 with the imperial warfare intensifying in against the few progressive governments that there still are in Latin America at this moment. Maybe Mario will return to that because he is from Brazil. So, but based on this literature review, I categorize broadly and for simplicity two bodies of literature: a mainstream approach that's informed by standard mainstream international relations theory, and a critical approach that looks at possibilities for transformation. And in the mainstream approach, I just indicated that, regions are viewed as static and isolated blocks of countries, and countries then are always, in the methodologically nationalist view, homogeneous units, surrounded, demarcated by borders, and so forth. We know these criticisms, I hope. I think there are a few geographers here. And in this way, then, in that literature, the coexisting generations, neoliberal, counter-dependency, and so forth, are construed as ideologically separate, incompatible, and conflicting units. So, for example, if I say the Bolivarian Alliance or Petrocaribe is a counter-dependency project, that clashes with what you get in that literature, CARICOM, the Caribbean Community, viewed as a neoliberal project. Now, and then you look at my table and you see member states overlap between these projects. So what I did is I used key concepts of South-South cooperation as analytical categories to study these different regionalisms, and what I identified was there are, in most of them, there are the ideas of South-South cooperation, which is usually overlooked in the literature. And on that basis, one can analyze the interrelatedness while there are neoliberal ideas in these projects, at the same time, there are also ideas that are anti-neoliberal, that are articulating the principles of self-cooperation, like solidarity, complementarity, building up regional production chains through complementation. Now, so in summary, I read that out. The inquiry mapped out the geographies of, or maps out the geographies of generations of regionalisms in the Greater Caribbean according to formal memberships, that's the governments that are members, the countries, while equally or subsequently problematizing the assumed homogeneity of these regionalisms by analyzing them through the dimension of South-South cooperation. And that then is explored in a case study, the so-called Petrocaribe Economic Zone, which was actually founded on paper some years ago. This is probably not much happening at the moment with the embargoes against Venezuela and Cuba. But this was an idea to construct a common economic zone in the Greater Caribbean, guided by the principles of South-South cooperation. And nonetheless, despite the constraints at the moment, I present in the chapter some empirical knowledge, some selected instances of these kind of interrelations and interconnectivities through which this South-South cooperation space has been constructed. So that can be an airline. Those who travel to Latin America occasionally might, there might be direct links to the Caribbean from the UK, but going to Central America or traveling from Nicaragua to Venezuela, there were never direct flights, it always went via the US. And within this project, airline connections and shipping lines have been established between points, places, that usually were not directly connected to each other. And through this, so there's an airline from Managua to Caracas now, and that transforms the geographical spatiality of the Caribbean. Just like production chains, the oil cooperation through which refineries are built have been built in all over the Caribbean that delinks the Caribbean from big multinational corporations and so forth. So there are some of these examples there and in my other work anyway.